We are witnesses of a beautiful miracle this morning through the living word Jesus Christ. We see a paralyzed man who cannot walk on his own, healed of his paralysis by God. Christ God is the Word of God, to whom all things were made, knew this man. He knew this man and he loved this man with a fatherly love even before he was presented to him. Psalmist David says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. He who made the paralytic's legs and gave this man his first heartbeat in his mother's womb is the same one who has healed him of his infirmity. The paralytic was brought to his Creator, our Creator, and he received healing from the Lord. He was given a new beginning. Now, every miracle is a testimony to the truth of God, the truth that is God. It points us directly to the kingdom of heaven, to the restoration of the human race, to the intervention of the kingdom of God and his redemption, his salvation and restoration into this otherwise fallen world and all that's corrupted by evil and sin. Jakob dute, dute akolo. In other words, every miracle is a sign of Christ God's triumph over sin and death, over your sin and death, over my sin and death. Every miracle then reminds us of God's victory over sin and death on the cross, his triumphant resurrection from the dead, his harrowing of Hades, his glorious ascension, his victorious and final second coming, when all that Christ has assumed, all that he has taken on, will be healed and restored to all those who have joined the new race of Adam in Christ. The world and all of our temporal passing and dying pursuits will no longer be center focus there. We struggle with them being center focus now, but I assure you, they will not be center focus when Christ comes again. But he who is life itself and our life in him will be what is center focus at that time. And so miracles then are a sign that God has power over this world and over the sad effects of the sins that all the human race has participated in, and that you and I and this paralytic are affected by through our own sins and have joined him. For this reason, miracles then, we say in the language of the church, is a sign of the eschaton. It's a sign of the fulfillment of the kingdom of God after the second coming of Christ. The healing of the paralytic alludes to all of these works and promises of God on your behalf, on my behalf, where those who are being saved will be gathered up to join the ranks of heaven in God's near presence, where neither sighing and sorrow shall have fled away. A greater miracle, though, is at work here in today's gospel. We read that when Jesus saw the faith of those who had brought the paralytic to him, he instantly healed the man of his paralysis? No. He said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." This was not what some were expecting. Christ's words must have come as quite a shock. Christ clearly teaches us here the priority of our eternal souls over that of our decaying bodies. This is a crude way to put it, and I in no way mean to belie the value of our bodies, which bear the image of God along with our immortal souls. But it is to underscore the fact that while our bodies will, like the earth, all wear out like a garment, our souls are eternal. And yet, how much time do we spend prioritizing the priorities of this world over the need of those immortal souls that Christ God has given us, that we may be with him for eternity? How much time do we take occupying ourselves with entertainment and pleasing ourselves rather than acquiring the virtues that you and I need to be in God's near presence for all eternity? This realization doesn't mean that we just forget about this world, you know, God forbid, but instead of letting the world control us, our time, our energy, everything about us, our focus, and distract us from the things of God, from the priority that our eternal souls demand of us to get ourselves in the kingdom of heaven, we instead bring our orthodox faith to bear on the world around us. We do so to change it. It's true. To share what St. Paul calls the fragrance of Christ with the world around us. But it is also part of your and my salvation that we come outside of ourselves and we serve and we witness and we fight to show ourselves as different from those who are passing away in the world around us. Otherwise, they have no hope. Sadly, it's sin that not only separates us from God and his holiness, our life from him who is the life of the world, but also it separates us from our fellow human beings. The only thing the world unites us on are things that are temporal, things that are passing away, and things that divide us further. It's in the context of understanding sin and its sad consequences on the world, on our being enslaved to the world, and all that's passing away, that Christ addresses the ultimate need of the paralytic. Yes, he needs his legs, but more importantly, he needs to be cleansed. He needs to be purified. He needs to be forgiven. More important than the healing of his legs is the healing of his soul, of his becoming an adopted son of the living God, a co-heir with Christ. Everything else pales in comparison. By forgiving the sins of the man, Christ clearly declares himself to be God. For as the scribes rightly understood, who can forgive sins but God alone? This is what they were thinking. Exactly. Their sinful hearts could not comprehend that the God who lovingly spoke creation into being through his word, through the Logos, would himself enter into that human nature as Emmanuel, God with us, as the prophets foretold, to restore that nature, to restore a path to the kingdom of God for his beloved children, the pinnacle of his creation, with whom he so dearly desires communion. The scribes instantly charge blasphemy because they cannot, they refuse to acknowledge that God would love us to such an extent that he would even condescend to become incarnate to defeat the endless cycle of sin and death. Death and sin that's enslaved the world since the beginning. And so Christ, to deepen the faith of all those assembled and silence the actual blasphemers, does two things that reveal himself as God. First, he tells them what they are thinking, saying, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? At that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And then and only then does Christ God say to the man, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Go to your house healed. The man arose and departed to his house, glorifying God. both of these miracles, the revelation of the inner thoughts and the healing of the paralysis, prove that Christ is God. And so what joy. You can see it on the faces of the man and his friends. Their burden's been taken away from them. They walk home together rejoicing, glorifying God. But the greatest joy, brothers and sisters, is that this son of Adam has been forgiven. He has been reconciled to God. Do we take this for granted in our own lives? Do we take God's mercy for granted? Do we assume that we're already in the kingdom? We have nothing more to do to work out our salvation. Before our baptism and the possibility of the renewal of that baptism through confession, we too are paralyzed by sin. Even in the life of an Orthodox Christian who's become part of that new creation, a beloved child of the eschaton, this world in all its confusion and hedonism may take hold of the unwary and paralyze it, paralyze that soul, beloved by God with addictions and habitual sins. Those beset by any passions, repeated sins that paralyze our souls, or indifference toward God, toward His church. Whatever it is, these things can paralyze our souls from progressing in our deification, our journey further up and further in the kingdom of God and communion with the only lover of mankind. And so to all of us who are weary and heavy laden by our sins, by our struggle with those sins, we too can take to heart the words of the Lord this day. Arise, take up your bed, and go unto your house. Because with the Lord there is forgiveness. There is new life. There is renewal. And so fittingly, the title given to the story, to this gospel in the Orthodox Scriptures, is the paralytic restored. Because his soul is restored. His soul is arrighted with God, which is eternal life. Christ God will restore us too if we come before his presence with even a drop of faith, with the hope of restoration, of growth, of renewal in him, of dissatisfaction at the place that we're currently at. And brothers and sisters, this is the Orthodox faith. All of us need to have this desire to press on, to press further. Complacency is death in the eyes of the church. You and I need to keep progressing and growing in our faith in God, in our love of God, if we are to find salvation in Him. Christ God desires to give it to us. He stands there eagerly awaiting us with this hope of restoration, of growth, of renewal, as the great physician of our souls and bodies. He alone is God, the only one who can forgive our sins, who can renew our baptism, who can help us to progress in our participation in His life. Call on Him. Call on Him this day. Call on Him in time of need. Call on Him in a moment of weakness and of temptation. Call on Him in a moment of indifference. Call on Him when you make the decision whether you are going to entertain yourself or come to Great Vespers. Call on Him when you are tempted to stay home and skip church. Entrust yourself to His grace and His mercy. His grace is sufficient and His strength is perfected in weakness. And this is the testimony that's given to us this day. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.